I have to admit, I love snowstorms like yesterday. As we were driving on 275 yesterday morning, we crossed the river, and there's just this mysterious fog that's kind of mist that's lifting up. It was just beautiful. And the snow was big, white, fluffy flakes, and it stuck to the trees, just coating them in white, and left the roads completely alone. It was great. And as we were driving through this and being out in the snow, I realized how beautiful it was. And even though the timing was not, you know, convenient, it did make us slow down a little bit yesterday to appreciate the beauty around us and to also appreciate those who are helping us to be safe by keeping the roads clear and the police officers who were out helping those who were struggling to drive. The Holy Spirit comes to us just like a snowstorm. It is full of beauty and awe, asking us to slow down and to appreciate God. We are at the scripture and not the offertory. I can't find the scripture, just a moment. Romans 3. So we're not going to take any money, and you're going to hold that thought. Because I'm supposed to have humility? Yeah. Humility. Okay, humility. Let's go to Romans and think about the Holy Spirit in a moment. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been disclosed and is attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are now justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Enter into these moments, O God, by the outpouring of your Spirit, that we who receive the bounty and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord might be fashioned as your church and become your servant people, expressing the joy and love of our Savior and the inclusion of all. It is in that holy and mysterious name of Christ Jesus we move into these moments. Amen. Thank you, choir, for the opening word of Jesus. That sets the stage for this week as a holy week, a day in which God's abundance and bounty flow rich among us. You and I are in the sixth and final in our series of what it means to be a church member, and Thomas Rainer has set the stage in this section to have us understand and recognize that church membership is a gift. Alvin would arrive every January almost like clockwork. He would lay down 12 crisp $1 bills and he'd say, "Here, this is my dues for the year. I'm a member." You and I maybe at times think that somehow church membership is more like our membership in the country club than it is in the body of Christ. Alvin certainly treated it that way as he let it down and thought that gave him access, right? After all, we'll now be able to do his funeral or do whatever he needs to come visit when he's in crisis. Rainer challenged us that church membership is far more than being about ourselves. It challenged us to become faithful as God as faithful. It challenged us to set aside our preferences and our choices to put others before us, to have that humility, whether we like it or not. To find in every rich moment, it is an action of unmerited grace. For there is no distinction, Paul says. Since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, they are now justified by His grace as a gift. There was a young little boy, and the next day was his birthday. And he started early in the morning by telling his parents, "Tomorrow's my birthday. Don't forget, I get a gift." Midway through the day, the same chime came true again. "Don't forget, tomorrow's my birthday. You'll have something special for me." As he went to bed that night, he called down the stairs and said, "Just remember, tomorrow's it. I'm excited." Parents, in their joyful glee, wrapped an empty box, put it at his breakfast place, and when the little boy came down the steps, he saw the gift, he unwrapped it, and he looked inside. "Nothing," he said. "What's this?" And they said, "You are the greatest gift. Nothing else we'd celebrate today, but you as a gift." That somehow our relationship to God. We regularly tell Him we deserve this, or we've earned that, or don't forget, tomorrow's my special day. Instead of knowing that each and every day is God's dramatic gift of salvation. If the church is to be the church, and you and I, Rainer said, is to understand our nature as a gift, then it must be tied to salvation, that undeserved gift. That gift that, as Romans 3:23 articulated, is given by Jesus. As Romans 6:23 said, it's a free gift of God for eternal life, for the wages of sin are death. But this is a free gift. 2 Corinthians 5:21, we become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ as a gift. And as Paul was describing this week for the life of the church in Ephesus, he said to them in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, Christ became obedient and humbled himself even to death on a cross. You and I understand that this gift that we're receiving is not some simple trinket or token. It's an outpouring of God's majesty and incredible nature of grace. Each of you, I hope, this morning will take home a palm branch. This branch can act as many tools for you, but this is what I'd suggest this Holy Week season. When you start praying on one side, name all those that are in your house to love, those that you've influenced in their walk of faith, those that you cherish, those that you remember maybe in illness or battle or difficulty. But when you get to the top, when you start on this other side, start naming those that are difficult for you to love. Those that you find offensive, those that you find hurtful, those that you find less than deserving your prayers. And then this branch will be more than just a branch of palms of praise. It'll be a reminder that Christ came not for those that He loved, but for those that were hard to love. Like you and me. Those who find themselves alienated from God. Are you a gift that God would offer to the world? Are you a gift of majesty that in prayer He'd put you on the altar of grace? And He'd invite you to be a gift for Him in this life? The gift of the church, you see, Paul says, in the first letter to the Corinthians, You are the body of Christ. And individually, you are members of it, Paul says. And he goes on to give litany to apostles and preachers and teachers and every sort of gift. But he closes chapter 12 by this phrase, I will show you now a more excellent way. And if you're familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, he gives this beautiful echoing chorus of what real love looks like. For love is patient, love is kind, it's not jealous, boastful, arrogant, or rude. You and I are then given the body of Christ as a treasured gift, a gift to be anticipated into its fullness, into the joy and the nature of God, into the bounty when Christ intersects our feeble attempts to be his people. And through that Holy Spirit empowers us to be so much more. The church is a gift to be enjoyed. If it's like country club membership, then it's only to be enjoyed by a few. If it's the body of Christ, it's an invitation to all. You and I are invited not to just merely be members here at Armstrong Chapel, to devote ourselves to this work and this place. We've already heard that this is a church that's a universal church that includes all places and all stations. It includes everyone that is hungering and thirsting after the bounty of God. We become believers everywhere, not just exclusively here. But the local church, you see, must also be a part of that universal church. We must plug in here. We must say, I'm in here. When God invites us to make commitments to those around us, to help us do the work that is greater than ourselves. For some of us, it isn't just defined by a geographic space. It's defined by the people that surround us and claim for us the power and nature of God. For Mary, she said to me, oh, I can worship God in nature here in my garden. I don't have to come to church. Mary missed the nature of brothers and sisters like you. Can you remember on this day when the scribes and Pharisees tried to silence the crowds of singing Hosanna? Jesus said, oh, if they don't cry out, then even the rocks would cry out. So Mary's right. You might be able to hear God in a beautiful garden, but I dare say we all should hear him in the collection of the people who believe, both those that have come ahead of us, who are now a part of that communion of saints that fill the rafters of this place. Did you not hear as you sang that opening hymn, the company of angels are praising thee on high? It is an invitation to understand that this church is a part of Christ's body, an amazing gift. And if we understand this gift to be the church, to be who we are, then would we not want to receive this gift with deep gratitude and appreciation? Again, the country club aspects would say, here's this litany and requirement. Even if it's a public country club, you have to live in the right neighborhood, you have to answer the right questions, you have to pay the regular fees so you have access. Or is it the church? Cross paths with a young lady by the name of Lisa. Looked at Lisa in the grocery store where we met, and very briefly, I thought I should invite her to church. And then I sort of read my head and said, oh, she might not like it there. Lisa doesn't look like most of you. Lisa doesn't really smell like most of you. I don't think she really had opportunity to have a shower in her place and position in this community. Lisa, I simply wished her well, loaded my groceries in the car and escaped. I blamed the church because I knew I didn't need to invite her in its midst. 2 days later, after I'd wrestled with sleepless nights and feeling frustrated that I had failed to be the extension of the body of Christ to every believer, every precious soul, God just seemed to plant Lisa back on the corner where she had always stood in that community, there with her little sign asking for help. I paused this time and I went up to Lisa. I already knew her name because I'd asked what that was. I greeted her there on the corner and I said, "You know, I meant to ask you the other day, would you come with me to church? If you come with me to church, I'll have you sit down front with me. I'll introduce you to everybody that's there. They'll be excited to greet you." She sheepishly and probably without little thought said yes, she'd like to come. The next day I received the news that probably because of the addiction and the battle that she had fought on the street and on the corner for so many years, Lisa was gone. I wonder, however, that when I get to heaven, she'll invite me down front, introduce me around to the crowd of people that are there in that place, and invite me into the church that's the body of Christ, not a place of people that look like us or act like us or smell like us. This is Holy Week. Hear the gospel of this week. For Jesus entered the street, and there were cries of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Day after day, he would come into the temple and he would teach. When the day of unleavened bread came, he said to his disciples, "Go and prepare a place, and I will share with you the Passover meal." In that meal, he took bread and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body broken for you." Also in that meal, he blessed a cup. He passed it among them and said, "This is my blood of a new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat and drink, remember me." They sang a hymn and they went out to the garden to pray. Jesus said, "Watch with me one hour," and yet they fell asleep, for their eyes were heavy. Jesus prayed to the Father. Soon a crowd, a mob came, soldiers. One who betrayed Jesus granted him a kiss. The soldiers, they arrested him and they drug him out to the chief priests and to the scribes and Pharisees. They examined him and said he was blasphemous. They sent him to Pilate, and Pilate again examined Jesus. He was found to be king of the Jews. They beat him, and they crucified him. And from that cross, the Gospels record 7 amazing words that Jesus would utter in those 3 hours of agony and death. He would breathe his last. And there would be some who would come. They would take down his body. They would wrap it and they'd place it in a tomb. And they would believe the story is finished. Thanks be to God, the gospel is true, and it was not silenced by the tomb and the grave. Amen.